Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you again. So it seems like a good day to talk about tires, right? Earlier this fall, I headed down the highway, destination Prince Edward Island, so like not a little trip, right? Somewhere around Toronto, I noticed that my car felt a little bit wobbly, shall we say. What's going on with this little shimmy? So what did I do? I drove on. Denial. A while later, just outside of Mormora, I heard a pop. There was major shaking, like a smell of burning rubber, and yeah, a flat tire. Yeah. All turned out well. There was some Good Samaritans in a truck right behind me. Stopped, changed it for me. Canadian Tire in Ottawa the next morning, four new tires, all was good. But it was a bit of a wake-up call for me. What in the world had I been thinking, embarking on this significant trip and not even checking the conditions of my tires? Or the oil, or the washer fluid. I had gas, okay? Yeah. Yeah, a book on tape, or not, you don't do that anymore. An audio book, yeah. Traveling is just a whole lot smoother and safer when you pay attention to your car's knocks and wobbles and get regular maintenance, right? It ensures that the car continues to do what it's supposed to do. The same might be said for our spiritual lives. Life just goes smoother when we regularly pay attention to the knocks and wobbles going on inside us. And doing so can ensure that we continue to grow into all that God created us to be. Today I want to talk to you about a regular spiritual maintenance plan. It's a discipline called the examen. Now, I like to say examen. Some people like to say examine. Tomato, tomato, same thing, okay? Now, if you recall the old-fashioned weighing scales with the two dishes on both sides, well, apparently that tongue that's in the middle, or the weigh indicator, is called the examen in Latin. It's a tool for weighing and assessing. When you hear the word examen, examine, your mind might go to examination, like at school. Don't go there. It's not what it is. The examen is more like a physical exam when you go to the doctor. When you go there, you don't get a pass or a fail, generally. Am I right? Yeah? Not a pass or a fail. Right. It's more you go to get an assessment of the state of your health, or when you have a sit-down with your financial advisor, say. It's to get a checkup or an overview of your financial situation. So the examen is like that. It's a way of getting a read of your spiritual health. Now, the examen is based on a few assumptions. And these assumptions are all expressed very eloquently in Psalm 139, which some people have called the classic prayer of examen, or the examination of consciousness. So I'll invite you to turn to Psalm 139 with me right now, and we'll use it as a foundation for explaining the examen. So we're going to read from verse 1. It begins, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. So the first assumption of the examen is that God knows me intimately. He knows everything about me, inside and out. He knows my actions, my thoughts, my words, all of my motivations. Nothing is news to him. He knows it all. Now skip down to verse 13. He knows my very beginnings, because he was the one who created me. Verse 13, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. So he knows what's going on with me right now. He knows what was going on with me in my past. And he also knows what my future holds. Verse 16 says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So let that sink in. God knows you intimately. He created you to be uniquely you, one of a kind. He wired you in a certain way, and he gave you unique gifts that are all your own. He knows your past, your present, your future. I don't know about you, but the psalmist here thought that was pretty good news. He thought it was wonderful. Verse 6 says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. He finds that knowledge wonderful because of the second assumption. God loves us, or God knows us intimately, and he loves us and wants us to grow and to have abundant lives. Now, God gave us Jesus gave us his mission statement in John 10:10. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Full, abundant life. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to grow and experience life fully, to become all that we are capable of becoming. And he wants our lives to be founded in all those good things like peace and unity and justice and integrity and fruit of the Spirit, all that good stuff. The second assumption means that God will always guide us towards those kinds of lives. God knows us intimately. He loves us and wants us to grow. And the last assumption is that God is always at work, everywhere. And that's expressed in verse 7 of the psalm and following. It says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. There is nowhere that God is not present and active. He is always at work. Right now, right here. God didn't create the world and just leave it to run by itself. He's not sitting passively in heaven and observing all that's going on down here. God is present and active in the midst of history and in our daily lives. And often, it's the moments that can seem quite mundane or insignificant that are, in fact, evidence of God's activity, of his direction, of his leading us toward something or away from something, of his shaping us into what he wants us to be. You know, something as ordinary as, you know, receiving some kind of request or waking up really early or getting angry at a remark that somebody made to you or feeling compelled to take a certain way home. Mundane things, but they can be significant. If we accept these three assumptions as truth, God knows me intimately, he loves me and wants me to have abundant life, he is always working. If we accept these things as true, then our hearts and our minds are open to discern the activity of God in our lives, to expect it. We're more apt to notice where God shows up in our day. We're more likely to listen to our emotions and pay attention to how our body responds to situations. One of the big influences of my coming to faith many years ago were the Jesuits. It's a Catholic order with a rich history and tradition of spiritual formation. They had a big influence at Laurentian University in Sudbury, where I studied. The Jesuits were founded in the 1500s by a man named Ignatius of Loyola from Spain. Before Ignatius was a priest, he was a soldier, and he saw lots of battles, and at one point he was seriously injured, and he faced a long and painful recovery. Now, if you've ever been flat on your back or in a chair, laid up, and you know that it can be a pretty good opportunity for focusing on your relationship with God, right? Yeah. This is what happened with Ignatius. While he recovered, he read a lot about Jesus and resolved that he wanted to model his life on Jesus' life. So Ignatius started examining his life on a daily basis. He believed that only by seeking to see God in the daily things could he make the right choices and decisions that would allow him to live in harmony with God and with other people. And his discipline, he did it every day, his discipline of examining his life came to be known as the examen. So basically, the examen looks back over a certain period of time in your life, and you discern where God has been working. Ignatius did it every day, looking back over the previous 24 hours. Now, I have found that a day is a good, manageable period of time, 24 hours, but you can also do it for longer periods, like on a Sunday afternoon, look at the week past, or, you know, New Year's Day, the whole year, whatever. It's noticing where God has been working in your life in the past, but then also discerning where he is guiding you into the future. It's not just navel-gazing, it's planning to move on. And you do this by paying attention to the feelings, the strong emotions that moments of your day elicit as you remember them. Ignatius's examen, that's probably not right, Ignatius apostrophe, it had five simple steps. And I'm going to walk you through these steps. You got a handout, you can follow with me. And then we're actually going to do an examen together because I know you don't like homework, right? I want to make sure you get to experience it. So first we'll do a walkthrough. Step one is where you transition into prayer mode. Okay, you quiet yourself. And as you settle into prayer mode, remind yourself that God knows you intimately. Remind yourself that he loves you and that he wants you to grow into who he created you to be. Remind yourself that God is always working in your life. Step two, I'm just talking now, okay? You don't have to be doing it yet, okay? Step two is to invite God to be part of the exercise. You ask him to help you see, ask for insight from the Holy Spirit to be able to discern God's activity. The examen is not a solo pursuit, okay? It's a joint search, you and God doing it together. And that, it's important to remember that. Because if we look at our day just on our own, we may tend to poo-poo, you know, or overlook something that we really do need to see. Back in the day, I used to make sermon notes to hand out to the congregation, and I'd write them, and then I'd edit them, and then I'd give them to my assistant, who was Carrie at one point, yeah, believing that these notes were print ready. However, I would always ask Carrie to proofread them first. Read them over to see if there were any, you know, spelling mistakes, grammar errors, or something I'd missed. Because I found that when I had been working with something for so long, you know, you just work it, you tend not to see what you need to see anymore. Mistakes can just slip by. And it was a rare week that Carrie didn't find something to say, you know, like, do you think you might want to use a different word here? Just something like that. Asking Jesus to be part of the examen with you is like inviting him to proofread your life, to make sure that you haven't overlooked something in your busyness or your distraction, okay? And you, at this point, you might want to pray the last verses of Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, step three is the heart of the examen. It's here that you review your day or whatever period of time you're working with. You might think of it as like watching a home movie of your day. And as you watch your day playback in your mind, you try to discern where God was working. Now, Ignatius expected that God would speak through his deepest feelings and yearnings. So you pay attention to strong feelings that you experience. If a situation elicits a feeling of peace or hope or joy, contentment, anything positive or anything associated with the fruit of the Spirit, that would be an indication of God's presence and God's guidance moving towards that. On the other hand, if a situation stirs up a feeling of hostility or jealousy, self-centeredness, or just a sense of disconnect, just overall crumminess, that's an indication that God is not part of that situation and likely is an indication that he's leading you away from similar scenarios. So how you do it is this, very basic. You ask yourself two questions. And the questions may vary in wording, but basically one of the questions focuses on where is God's presence, and the other question is where is God's absence. And the pros refer to this as consolation, desolation. So you might ask yourself these questions. For what moment today am I the most grateful? And then, for what moment today am I the least grateful? Another example would be, what was the most life-giving part of my day? What was the most life-thwarting part of my day? Or, when did I have the deepest sense of connection with God, others, and myself? And then when did I have the least connection? You get the drift? Yeah? You look at both the positive, the negative, the presence and the absence, consolation, desolation, by paying attention to your strong feelings about what happened during the day. I like to do this with pen and paper. Don't always. Sometimes I do it while I'm walking. Okay? It doesn't have to take an eternity. It can be like a two-minute thing. You put into it what you want, you get out what you put in. So I've been diligently doing the examen for the last little bit in preparation for today. Put my money where my mouth is. On Friday, I was reviewing the day that I had on Thursday. And the question that I asked myself was, for what am I the most grateful? Well, what came to mind was the BIC pastor's meeting that I was able to attend in Kitchener. I had a deep sense of gratitude, of satisfaction for what I would call being seen. You know, 8 years after retirement, people still remembered my name and treated me as a colleague, and it was important to me. When I asked the companion question, for what was I the least grateful, What came to mind was this sense of angst I felt as I was driving home because I had scheduled to have an hour-long phone call with a friend that evening, and I was just whacked, you know? 3-hour drive, all day interacting with people. I'm an introvert, like I just couldn't do it. But I had this angst, like I can't say no. Anyway, so step four, we'll get back to my example, okay? Step four is to look for the insights from these two situations that you have identified. Most grateful, least grateful. So using my example, I discern that it's important for people to feel that they have been seen, especially in a Christian community, right? So God would have me treat others like that. That's what I discern. From the second experience, I discern, you know, I think I struggle with setting boundaries and with self-care, with saying no, and that ignoring boundaries and ignoring self-care is not consistent with God's will for me. The final step, step five, is to take these insights that you have gained and to look at how you might collaborate with God more fully as you move forward. So using my example, I resolve that I am going to try to be a person who sees others, especially little old ladies. It's true. It's very easy to be invisible. Yeah. I resolve to remember people's names and to ask them what's going on with them. On the other side, with the phone call situation, I resolve that I'm going to cut myself some slack and be honest with my friends. And in the end, I did. I said, you know what? Can we just put it off till next week? And it was fine. I don't know what I was so messed up about, but that's what I need to pay attention to. So I think of how Google Maps responds when I stray from the route that it has mapped out for me. What does it say? Recalculating or make a U-turn, yeah. The X-Men can be like that Google voice, directing me to get back on the path, get back on the right path. What the psalmist says in Psalm 139, the way everlasting. And that's the whole point of this prayer of Exodus, to help us stay in the way everlasting, to help us collaborate with God in living the abundant life that he wants us to have. One thing I can tell you is that after having done this diligently for the last few weeks, I am definitely more conscious of what is going on in the moment. Yeah. So now, your turn. You don't just get to take that paper home. We're going to take the time to go through the examen right here, right now. And perhaps, you know, you'll find that, you know, this really resonates with me. This is something that I want to incorporate into my life. But I know it's not going to be for everybody, and that's fine. Different strokes for different folks, different disciplines for different disciples. But my hope is that in this prayer, some of us might discover a very rich way to enhance our relationship with God. So if you don't have a handout, one per person and a pen, please raise your hand and Linda will come around. At home, you can just get a piece of paper and a pen. And if you're not into writing, there's one here, Linda. Yeah. If you're not into writing, do it in your minds. Okay, so I'm going to explain the steps one more time with a little less explanation, and then I'm going to leave you to do it. I'll stop talking so that you can do it. We're going to review the last 24 hours. You go over the day in your mind. If you like, there's space on that sheet for you to jot down any events or moments, encounters, anything that stands out to you, those that elicit the strongest emotions. And for any that are life-giving, put a plus sign in the little column that I wrote there for you. Any that are life-thwarting, you put a minus sign. And then using one of the sets of questions suggested, I think they're printed on your sheets there. Maybe you could put them on the screen so that people at home can see them. Focus on one event or moment from each side. What stands out to you the most? Most life-giving, most life-thwarting. And then you ponder, how was God working? Where was God leading you? And what did you learn? And then lastly, you look ahead. How will you integrate what you have taken from this exercise and make it part of your life as you move forward? We're going to play some soft music as we do this exercise. We're going to take 3-5 minutes. I'll gauge it. And then the worship team is going to come up and lead us in a song during which you could finish up if you haven't, you're not quite done. Any questions before we begin? No? Okay, well, I'll invite us now to transition into prayer mode. And we'll invite God to be part of this exercise. God, I believe that you know each one of us intimately, that you want us to grow into all that you created us to be, and that you are with us at all times. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.